Hello, welcome to Locked on Sharks, the premier hockey podcast of your favorite team in the Bay Area. On today's episode, we have Chris Peters on to get jiggy with it when we talk about Will Smith. So we have a Will Smith breakdown, talk about his strengths, his weaknesses, why he's such an intriguing prospect, and where he would fit in the Sharks prospect pool. So all that and more on today's episode of Locked on Sharks.
Your Locked on Sharks, your daily podcast on the San Jose Sharks. Part of the Locked on Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm your host, JD Young, contributor at Fear the Fin, RIP. And San Jose Hockey Now. I want to thank you guys for making Locked on Sharks your first listen. We're free and available wherever you get podcasts. And of course, you can watch this on YouTube as well. And we have Chris Peters on from Flow Hockey to discuss Will Smith. Nice to have Chris on. He had him on a couple years ago. Wasn't able to get him on recently. But it was nice to get him on to kind of talk about Will Smith and where kind of what makes him such an intriguing prospect, and looking at his point production is absolutely insane and kind of under talked about, honestly. So before though, we get into my conversation with Chris, do want to let you know that today's episode is brought to you guys by FanDuel Sportsbook, the official sportsbook of Locked On. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to get started. And now we bring in the senior content creator of Flow Hockey, Chris Peters. Chris, welcome back to Locked on Sharks. It's been a while since you've been on the show, but how are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well, JD. It's good to be with you. Thanks for having me.
No problem. So we're going to have you on to talk about Will Smith, who I think is one of a very intriguing prospect in this year's draft. Before we get into kind of Will Smith's strengths and weaknesses and get to know more about Will's game, do you want to kind of introduce him to the audience? So Will Smith, a center for the U.S. National Team, 6 foot, 172 pounds in 36 games this year. He has 28 goals, 41 assists, and 107 shots on goal. And he's considered probably the best prospect on this team heading into this year. So what makes Will, why is everyone getting jiggy with Will Smith this year?
I haven't heard that one before.
I'm sure you have not.
So, I think the reason that there's a lot of excitement about Will Smith, it starts with his progression from last season. He played on the under 18 team, got called up, and was part of their team at the World Under 18 Championship, which, you know, obviously is a big accomplishment for any U17 player. But, you know, he was kind of down their lineup, didn't necessarily play a ton, didn't have a huge impact on that under 18 world championship. He comes into this year and really from the outset, highly productive, points all over the place. And now he's averaging close to 2 points a game. There is one player in the history of the NTDP that has averaged 2 points a game over the course of an entire season in their under 18 year. And that's Jack Hughes. And so, you know, the fact that Will Smith is kind of in this rarefied air of in terms of his production is a big reason why he's up there. The other thing is he's gotten a little bit stronger. You know, he grew a little bit in the offseason as well. You know, he's closer to 6 foot. He's not necessarily the strongest physically yet, but he's got room to fill out. And then, you know, he's just incredibly skilled. The vision is outstanding. He's part of, you know, this incredible line with Ryan Leonard and Gabe Perreault at the NTDP that is, you know, probably the best 1-3 line in all of junior hockey. You know, the way that those guys kind of work together. And Gabe Perreault is actually also close to 2 points a game at the NTDP and has really, he's been on an incredible tear lately. But I think that, you know, in terms of pro and NHL upside, Will Smith on that team has the most to offer, I think, in terms of upside. And that's a big reason why I think there's a lot of people that are excited about him. When you have the skill level that he does, when you have the hockey sense that he does, and then you put that into a, you know, basically a guy that's executing at an incredibly high level, it makes it really, you know, it makes a guy pop. And so, like, we're talking about Will Smith right now as a top five, top seven type pick in this draft. We're talking about him just as being on just barely on the outside of that that tier that includes Carlson, Mitchkov, Bedard, and Fantilli. You know, so if you're that next tier, that's a, and Will Smith is in that tier, that's still a really good place to be.
Yeah, and I think that kind of also speaks to the depth of this draft, right? Where Fantilli would be the number one pick in most drafts if there wasn't a guy named Connor Bedard floating around. And, you know, Leo Carlson could be a number one pick in a lot of drafts as well. So, again, having a guy who's in that same tier as these, you know, kind of knocking on the door of that same type of tier in Will Smith is, you know, kind of exciting spot for the Sharks fans who are right now. I think they're kind of fifth in the tankathon standings, and, you know, you get some bad luck, you could be sitting picking seventh, or if maybe you get some good luck, you're able to jump up. But what kind of, you know, you talk about like his production and stuff like that. What's the one kind of translatable skill with him where you're like, okay, I can see this working in the NHL with him?
I think it's his distribution ability is he navigates the ice incredibly well. And then he finds guys especially well. Like, he creates a lot of space for himself. That's harder to do at the NHL level. It's a lot harder to do at the NHL level. But it is something that I think, you know, in particular, he has got, you know, the opportunity to do. And then, you know, his vision and his ability to distribute, those are things that I think he processes the game at such a speed that he'll continue to be able to do that at the NHL level. You know, I think that the thing about him is, you know, he's also, you know, good with carrying pucks into the zone, you know, being a threat once they're in the offensive zone. And a lot of that, I think, comes back to the fact that he's such a high-end distributor. And there are going to be passes that he makes this year that he certainly won't be able to make in the NHL, but there's a lot that he does that are just the simple, right, correct play. And he identifies it so frequently. So, you know, I think that's a really, really positive thing for him.
All right. And then, of course, right, there's stuff that he needs to work on. So what do you think is the kind of the one glaring thing that he's going to have to improve on as he continues to develop and, you know, head towards the NHL?
Yeah, I think, you know, the biggest thing is probably just physical strength, which it is for so many guys. But I think, you know, he's kind of a lankier player, so he needs to tack on more muscle and some more weight.
You mean a 17-year-old kid isn't fully
filled? Yeah, right. But I mean, some more than others.
Some more, yes.
And I think he's in that category where he's grown. He's still growing into his body and into his frame, but I think that he is, you know, as he matures here, you know, just continuing to get stronger and harder to knock off the puck. I mean, he's already hard to knock off the puck because he's so shifty, but, you know, to make sure that he's battling. And the strength also would help him in the defensive elements of the game, which, you know, I don't think that, you know, I wouldn't necessarily call him a true two-way center, right? You know, like, and I think there's absolutely some teams out there that think he's a wing. And I think part of that is because of, you know, the defensive elements of his game are not as strong. I think that with strength, I would rather have him in the middle. I want him to have the puck as much as possible. If he's on my team, I think he's a top six guy all day, with the potential to be, you know, even a top line player at the NHL level if everything goes right. So, but you have to have better defensive capabilities in order to do that, because if the points ever dry up, you have to be able to do other things. And I think that Will Smith does that. I'm not concerned about his competitiveness. I've heard from scouts, I think he's a little bit on the softer side. I haven't seen that really. I think he engages physically. I think he does all those things. It's just right now he's not quite strong enough to execute those plays at a high enough level. The other thing with that too is just playing in the interior. That's one thing where, you know, like an Adam Fantilli is miles ahead of him in that regard. But also, I still think that Will Smith has shown a desire to play more within the middle and not to the perimeter, which is last year, I think, was what it was. He was way outside a lot. And that's this year, the reason he's more effective is because he is getting inside more.
All right. Before we continue with Chris and we get into kind of Will Smith and where he kind of fits in the draft, where he fits in the Sharks prospect pool, his kind of timeline to being an NHL type of player, do you want to take a quick break, talk to you guys about our friends over at Athletic Greens? Right now, new year, new me. You want to take care of your gut health, have more energy, optimize your immune system, but you don't want to take a bunch of pills and vitamins. That's where Athletic Greens comes in. With one scoop of their delicious AG1, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole foods, source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to get your day started right. Great thing about it, though, is the cost. for less than $3 a day. It's investing in your health, and it's cheaper than going to get coffee every day, if you're like me. Also, it's cheaper than going to the store and buying all the vitamins yourself. Athletic Greens has over 7,000 five-star reviews. They're trusted by professional athletes. So they're going to make it really easy. Go to athleticgreens.com/NHL Network. Get you a free one-year supply of their immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs for your first purchase. Again, just visit athleticgreens.com/NHL Network to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. Yeah, and you speak about his defensive, you know, I don't want to say issues, but that's, you know, something he needs to work on. And, you know, especially with USNDTB, it feels like that's very much something that they harp on, right, is those, like, playing in your own zone before and then working out from there. You know, you kind of see all those guys kind of, you know, like Bortolo and all these other players who've come out of the program where, you know, you have to start in your own zone. And, you know, do you think that it's something, again, it's just once he kind of gets bigger and adds on and with most players, right, is
yeah,
more and more experience working in your own zone. Something, again, maybe not be a full two-way, but he's not going to be a liability in his own zone.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing this year is, like, they have the puck all the time. So they're really there isn't a lot of time to spend. Like, it's just like, you know, they really do that. That line dominates pretty much every shift they're out there. I mean, the fact that, you know, Gabe Perreault and Will Smith are putting up, you know, roughly 3 to 4 points a game, it seems, against the USHL competition, even against some of the Division I colleges. It's incredible. But it is. I mean, at the NTDP, they want to, the players to leave much more, you know, well-rounded. They don't want to have one-dimensional players. And, you know, I think interestingly enough, like in the years, like the Jack Hughes years, that group was just so talented that they just basically were like, just go, you know, like just do what you do. I think, you know, with this particular under 18 team and Dan Muse being the head coach there, you know, he's coached in the NHL as an assistant with the Predators, coached the USHL level, coached the collegiate level at Yale, where, you know, definitely two-way hockey is very important. And I think that he's, you know, that's a big key for him is, like, you know, yeah, you had 4 points, but we also, you know, gave up like 5 scoring chances. You know, that's not going to be acceptable. So I do think that that's helped. And it'll just, you know, it'll continue to help. And they'll get when Will Smith goes to Boston College next year, same situation, former NHL assistant coach and Greg Brown, a former USHL head coach and a guy that's been at the collegiate game for a long time. You know, you're going to have to play a good solid two-way hockey, but they're also not going to, you know, and I think this is true at the NTDP, they're not going to, you know, have you change your identity just for the sake of a couple of extra defensive stops. They want you to play skilled. They want you to, you know, find the balance essentially. And for a lot of players, that's just a matter of reps and taking time. I think that's really what it comes down to.
That goes back into my defenses for nerds. Just go play fun hockey.
yeah, exactly. If you have the best defense is having the puck.
If you have the puck, you don't have to play defense, right? The Erik Karlsson, you know, yeah, that's why Erik Karlsson's so good.
Amen.
All right. So you mentioned he's going to Boston College, right? What's kind of the timeline for him to be an impact player in the NHL? So we were kind of seeing a little bit more kind of, I don't want to say one and dones, but we're seeing kind of guys cutting their college career short to make that jump. Look like guys going to be a top five, potentially top five, definitely a top 10 type of pick. What do you think is his kind of timeline?
Well, interestingly enough, I think in the last couple of years, the trendier thing is to stay that extra year for your sophomore year. So it actually, I think, you know, you're starting to see more players spend 2 years. There are fewer one and dones and a lot of two and dones right now. But you know, like I think that Will Smith is on a very similar path to Trevor Zegras. I think that, you know, that's to me, you know, having seen both of those guys at the NTDP and what they were able to do, you know, I see a lot of Zegras with Smith. He doesn't have that outward flamboyance and just kind of like bravado.
Yeah.
But he's got all the skill. He has all of that skill. A lot of the things that Trevor Zegras can do, Will Smith can do. I think he's one of the most dynamic players in this draft, period. You know, and that, and you know, so I mean, I think Bedard is on another level.
Yeah, Bedard's, but, yeah.
You know, like, you know, Michkov does it with his mind more than his skill. You know, Karlsson more with his size, Fantilli more with speed and strength. whereas Smith is just dynamic and does it, you know, with both his hockey sense and his creativity. So, you know, and with that, you know, Trevor Zegras was a one and done, went to Boston University, so on the other side of town, and then moved on to the Ducks organization. But then he had to spend time in the AHL. They wanted to get him more used to playing center at that level. And I think, you know, the thing about Will Smith is he will play center at Boston College next season. He'll probably be there, you know, depending on what Cutter Gauthier does. If he comes back, then Cutter Gauthier is probably their number one center and Will Smith's their number two center. And then that also, that may also say, okay, well, let him stay one more year to be the guy after Cutter Gauthier is gone. So I think the conservative estimate for him is that he's a 2-year collegiate player. You know, but I do, you know, he's not going straight from the NTDP to the NHL. I can guarantee you that much. That's happened once and it was Jack Hughes. And even then you could make the case that may not have been the right move at the time, but with hindsight being what it is, if that was going to accelerate Jack Hughes to get where he is right now,
it worked out.
Decision, right. So, so I think that, but we'll see Will Smith go to college and stay at least the 1 year. You know, he is a Mass native too. So it kind of is, you know, being at home and having that opportunity after these couple of years at the NTDP. So I think that that he's probably 2 years away from at a minimum 2 years away from being an NHL contributor.
Well, we know David Quinn and Mike Greer both are Boston College guys, so they're probably already taken Will Smith off the board if he's going to Boston University. But
no.
If the Sharks do draft him, where does he kind of fit into their prospect pool? You know, you have guys like William Eklund, who's going to be, you know, should be making the NHL next year. You know, Borlo, like, where does he kind of fit along with the rest of the guys?
Yeah, I mean, he'd be their number one prospect, I think, by a fairly clear margin. I think what we've seen with William Eklund is, you know, I was a huge William Eklund fan in his draft year. I remain a believer in what he's going to be able to do long term. I think that, you know, as much as I like him, I think Will Smith has a better skater. He's a more dynamic thinker of the game, even though I thought William Eklund has tremendous creativity and has done a lot of really cool things. You know, but like Thomas Bortolo, same deal. Like, he's an incredibly intelligent hockey player. You know, so that's the interesting thing that the Sharks are going to have to decide. Do they go with the more dynamic player who maybe doesn't have that physical strength? Or, you know, the interesting thing about that range where Will Smith is, you know, you've got other guys around him like Zach Benson, who is similarly dynamic, not as good a skater, not quite as big. You know, there's a lot of talk about the rise of Oliver Moore, who's more of a two-way center, who has better defensive capabilities and is the best skater in this entire draft. But then you also think about Philip Bystedt and the step that he's taken this year, and that you've got a big guy that can play down the middle. You know, so I think that there's a lot of different things that you have to consider. But to me, Will Smith, and that just shows you how good the top of this draft class is. I think after you get outside of the top 10, it gets closer to your average draft after that.
Yep.
I think that, you know, the top four is elite. The next tier is like 4 through 8 is really, really good. And I still think, like, if you're picking them that 5, 6, 7 range, you have an opportunity still to grab, you know, a potential number one prospect for your pool.
All right, guys, before we finish up with Chris, we talk about some bigger NHL draft things. We talk about why there's not that kind of number one defenseman out there. Is it the lack of talent, or is it just because all the forwards are really good? So, but before we do that, do want you to know about our friends over at FanDuel. Right now, it's Super Bowl week, and the only app that you need for your Super Bowl party is FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. We're really excited about our new sports betting partner for Lockdown because they're the number one sportsbook in America, FanDuel. If you're new to FanDuel, that's even better. They have so many great features that make betting on sports fun and easy. Download FanDuel now so you can bet Super Bowl 57 with a no-sweat first bet. You'll get to $3,000 back on bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. FanDuel will let you bet on anything from money line to point spreads to who will score a touchdown. Again, Jalen Hurts rushing touchdown. I just picture it in my mind. So FanDuel Sportsbook is app secure, is a safe, secure, and super easy to use. Best of all, you get paid your winnings instantly. So join FanDuel today at FanDuel.com/lockedon to claim your no sweat first bet on Super Bowl 57. That's FanDuel.com/lockedon. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. All right, let's talk some kind of bigger draft stuff. So, you know, you kind of mentioned the top class, and this draft very kind of already feels like we know is probably going to be 1, 2, 3, 4. Maybe some order switching here, you know, but I mean, you know, it's going to be Bedard 1, you know, it's Fantilli 2, probably Carlson 3, you know, maybe Mitchkov, like you can.
And maybe, yeah, I think Mitchkov's a real wild card. We have no, you know, no real clear plan on what'll happen with him, just given the everything, Russia.
Everything, yeah.
And yeah, it's all contract related, yep.
Yeah, and especially because you, I mean, again, we're probably not seeing him for a while, but at some, you're expecting a finished product when he eventually jumps over. But
yeah,
who's the one guy kind of out of the top four that you think is like, could be a big splash like on draft day where it's like, whoa, we didn't see this coming as a potential maybe top 5 through 10 pick?
Interesting. Yeah, I mean,
I know we're very, very far away from the draft still, but you
yeah,
know,
yeah. I mean, I think it's still very much to be determined. The one guy that I think is making a pretty significant push that's getting a lot more attention is Oliver Moore. And you know, he's playing on the second line, so he's not part of that group with Smith and Leonard and Perreault, and yet he's still producing. You look at the top four producers on that team, that includes Moore, who's fourth. And it's a pretty dramatic drop off after those four guys, in terms of the point production. And with Moore being the best skater in this draft, with the fact that he took such a gigantic step physically from last year, is physically strong, has defensive capabilities. He's a guy that I think teams are starting to really hone in on as the season is progressing here. And so that is definitely a guy to keep an eye on. I still think, you know, guys like Zach Benson have a real opportunity here to be part of that top five conversation. He's just scored a highlight reel goal.
That goal was insane.
The night before we record this. And the other thing about him is he might not be big, but he's ultra competitive. He's got a tremendous defensive stick. I mean, he takes pucks off people like I haven't seen. And so it's really impressive to see him do that. And so I think like that's another guy where like, oh, okay, well that makes a lot of sense as a guy that, you know, we should consider in this range. But beyond that, I think there's a lot of question marks. I think there's a lot of different things. When is the first defenseman going to go? When is the first goaltender going to go? Are we going to have one or more first round draft picks of goalies? You know, it's a lot of it is up in the air. And I think that, you know, it only takes one team to really disrupt the entire thing.
We're looking at you, Senators.
Yeah,
exactly. Sorry, had to get that in there.
Yeah, but you know, I think that's, you know, that's kind of a lot remains to be seen. So I'm interested to see kind of where everything stands, you know, as we kind of get into April more and we start getting to the postseason. That's when you start saying, okay, who's really making that push? And I think it could be a defenseman. Like, you know, I think guys like David Reinbacher and, you know, and Axel Sandin Pelikka, like if you have big years at the end of the year, and, you know, continue to deliver on what you showed throughout the season and took the next step, you know, I do think that there's a chance that some of those guys are going to really leap up in the range of, you know, potential top 10 guys.
Why is it with the defensemen? Is it just because the fours are so good, or is there just the defensemen there isn't? Like last year, you had a bunch of guys kind of like Krejcinski, et cetera,
yeah,
kind of floating around the top 10. Is it just that the defense class isn't as good this year, or is it just because the fours are so elite?
I just think that the forwards are so elite, and then the defense is closer to average. You know, like, okay, you know, there isn't a Simon Nemich or David Juracek in this year's class.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe there's a Keandre Miller, a guy like that when like the second half, you know, like a David Reinbacher, something like that, you know, like where, but yeah, but I mean, and you know, I think trying to think, you know, I think the Moritz Seider year was another year where we're kind of like, I don't know which defensemen are gonna go,
and that worked out for them.
And he's awesome, you know. So
yeah.
So I mean, like, I think that it's all cyclical. Like next year's defense draft class looks amazing. So at least early, we've talked. We always put the next draft class on a pedestal. Like the Shane Wright year was going to be such a big year. And then we got to the draft class. We're like, yeah, it's kind of not great.
Yeah.
You know, and then that even at the top. And then this year, obviously Bedard skews the entire look, but then you also see there are a lot of other players that are playing big roles. But next year you've got some real interesting guys that are, you know, the OHL has a number of young defensemen that look outstanding at 16. The USHL has Artem Levshunov, who's a Belarusian player that is a massive human and just incredibly intelligent. And, you know, I was like, man, he's got a chance. Like he'll be in the conversation for number one next year, I think. But yeah, so, I mean, so if you're looking for defense,
next year,
the worst next year, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, don't worry. The Sharks will be plenty bad next year as well, too. So, all right, I'm going to get you out of here on these last two. So, right now, picking today, we're recording this February 2nd. Will Smith goes where in the draft?
I'll say that I'm going to say I think he'll go fifth.
Fifth?
Yeah. And I hedge that saying, like, I think he'll go fifth, and I think he'll go before Michkov.
Oh,
I like that. That's my hot take, I guess.
That's fun. That's fun. Okay. And then last question. 5 years from now, I'm still doing this podcast. I have you on. We're going to talk about the best player in this draft that's not named Connor Bedard. Who is it?
I mean, I certainly think Adam Fantilli has the best chance. I mean, you know, if I'm going to put it, if we're really doing this exercise and it's not anybody other than Connor Bedard, it's going to have to be the guy that's number two on my list. Otherwise, I'm not very good at this, which I may not be anyway. So, no, but I think that what we're seeing, Adam Fantilli, as of right now, he is tied for the NCAA scoring lead as a freshman. He is averaging a higher points per game rate than Jack Eichel did in his Hobie Baker season. He is averaging close to Kyle Connor's draft freshman season numbers, and that was after he was drafted. And he somehow didn't win the Hobie Baker that year. Jimmy Vesey. But anyway, I do think that Fantilli, from the size, the speed, his hockey sense, his skill set, his ability to score, I think that he has all of the tools of being a potential number one center in the NHL. You know, I think that that's probably, and before the World Juniors, we were at least having the conversation like, hey, maybe we're not going to have that conversation for the rest of the year, but what he's doing at college, this season has so many rhymes to the McDavid Eichel season. Mm-hmm. And I mean, Jack Eichel was the best college freshman I had ever seen. And now Adam Fantilli is making a case for that. So mm-hmm. I was too young. I was nine when Paul Carrillo had 100 points as a freshman. So I wasn't around for that. But everything else, like, I think like Adam Fantilli is having an exceptional season. And just because Connor Bedard is having a super,
like, he's in his own galaxy.
Just a galaxy far, far away season. Don't lose sight of the fact that what Adam Fantilli is doing is exceptionally rare and should be appreciated as such.
All right, Chris, you've said it all. Where can the people find you, and what do you got coming up next?
Yeah, so all of my content for everything is at flowhockey.tv. I will have new draft rankings coming out in February. Hopefully a top 50. We'll see if that's possible. I'm still working through a lot of video and also a lot of live viewings, but that's where my draft rankings will be. My podcast is Talking Hockey Sense, which is available wherever you get podcasts. It is available on YouTube, and it's also available on Flow Hockey on the app as well. So a lot of different ways to engage with that. Follow at Flow Hockey too on Twitter and stuff like that, so that you can see what we're up to. Got a lot going, just a lot. There's a lot happening. And it's that time of year. Part of. Yeah. So, but definitely, just getting started over there. So plenty more to come, and we'll have a lot of great draft coverage this year too.
All right. Thanks, buddy.
Hey, my pleasure, JD. Thanks for having me.
All right, guys, I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Chris. Will Smith, I think if the Sharks miss out on one of those top five picks, or even with that fifth pick, Will Smith feels like a really, really intriguing prospect right now. I know there's still a lot of time between now and the actual draft, but feels like Will Smith could be one of those guys that we're talking about. Like, how did he go seventh or eighth or ninth or whatever he goes in a couple of years? So enjoyed that my conversation with Chris. Going to try to have him back on here in a couple of weeks and a month or so. Don't want to bring on the guys too quickly. Want to kind of have some nice breathing room before we have repeat guests. So, but fun conversation with Chris. Always enjoy talking to him. So thank you, Chris. Make sure you guys go checking out his work at Flow Hockey as well. Be back tomorrow. We actually have games again starting up. Be back tomorrow to cover that and then get you guys ready for that. We're going to, have some fun heading into as we start to get into trade deadline season here. So make sure you're following along. You follow me on Twitter at @MyFryHole. You can follow the show on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at @LockedOnSharks. You can listen wherever you get podcasts. And of course, watch this on YouTube as well. Until tomorrow. Bye, friends.